From the macabre minds of Laughing Devil Production comes another story from the Nightshade Diary. You know what that means. Check under the bed and make sure no one or nothing is there. Is the closet door securely shut? Then leave your disbelief behind, amp up your imagination, and hang on tight for another ride into terror and mystery. And like all good horror stories, just imagine it's a dark and stormy night. And remember, screaming like a little girl is permitted. Louis Rogers, Doppelganger. This is a true ghost story. Psychic investigators define a double as a ghostly or apparitional counterpart of the physical body. When dislocated from the living body, the double may temporarily move about in space and appear to others. The Germans have their own name for this phenomenon, Doppelganger or double walker, which is a ghost or double of a living person. Yet another term for this rare phenomenon is bilocation, in which a person is seen simultaneously in two places. One of the most remarkable cases of this type in psychic history was that of the ghostly double of Louis Rogers. It was in the spring of 1937 that the name of Louis Rogers burst into the world's headlines. His apparently incredible ability to appear simultaneously in places hundreds of miles apart baffled the experts at the time. It still does today. Physicians, scientists, researchers into the supernatural, even the police subjected Louis Rogers to unprecedented scrutiny. They tracked down his every contact, followed him relentlessly, and once even locked him up, and still his double was seen in distant places where Louis was not supposed to be. If Louis was playing a hoax on everyone, it was surely the most skilled in the annals of psychic research. Louis Rogers was an Englishman who had come to settle in Australia in 1931. Then, 30 years old, he went to Melbourne and set himself up in business as a professional medium, a person through whom communication is made between the living and the dead. He was a good-looking young man with long black hair and plenty of charm. Women, especially older women clients, liked him. About his lips there played an enigmatic, rather sad smile, and this too had its effect on his female customers. No one seemed to know much about Louis. There was an air of mystery about him, and he cultivated this quality as well. It was not long before he had built up a thriving business. His specialty was bringing back the beloved husbands, children, and other deceased relatives of his clients, usually once a week in afternoon seances, and he performed this service for all at reasonable rates. As the years advanced, business went well in Rogers' thickly draped consulting rooms. His appointment book was always full. Word of his skill at summoning the spirits from the world beyond spread rapidly. He was fond of saying, "I am at the mercy of the spirits. Wherever they call me, I must go." Many people regarded this as the professional patter of a medium, until one summer day in 1935, when two of Rogers' clients happened to meet on a street in Melbourne. "I didn't know," said one lady, "that Mr. Rogers had moved to Sydney, but my sister saw him there last Thursday afternoon and had quite a long conversation with him." "But that's impossible," objected the other woman. "Mr. Rogers was at my house last Thursday afternoon. He brought back my poor dead husband. From this instance, and others like it, the rumors about Louis Rogers' double started and began to spread. Example of his double appearances grew more numerous. People would be speaking to Louis in one place at a certain time, and learn later that someone else had seen and sometimes had even spoken with him in another place many miles away. All this, of course, served to enhance Louis's reputation as a medium, and his business boomed. Now he was more than ever the man of mystery, and living proof that other dimensions than the worldly one must exist. A few of his clients even dared to ask him about his rumored double appearances. When they did, Lewis would merely smile his sadly enigmatic smile, and run his fingers through his long black locks. If he replied at all, it was with his favorite phrase, "Whatever the spirit summoned me, I must go." At about this time, Dr. Martin Spence began to read and hear about the man who could be in two places at once. Spencer was director of Australia's Victoria Institute for Psychic Research and had built up a reputation as an investigator who could ferret out hoaxes and reveal tricksters who attempted to fool psychic investigators. He had heard scores of tales like the Rogers rumor, and as a professional, he knew that perhaps only 1 in 100 of them was worth looking into. Nevertheless, so persistent were the Rogers stories that Spencer decided this might be one of those worthy few. He dispatched 2 scientists from his institute to ask Rogers whether he would be willing to undergo some test of his alleged powers, but Lewis angrily refused. Intrigued by Rogers' refusal, Dr. Spencer himself went to talk to the medium. He asked Lewis why he feared an investigation. After all, he urged persuasively, it would be in the name of science and mankind. If such phenomena existed, more ought to be learned about them. Lewis replied that his clients trusted and respected him, and he did not want to lose their confidence. Besides, he said, he did not want a lot of scientific hypotheses to endanger his career. In the end, however, Rogers reluctantly agreed to participate in a series of experiments, but Spencer and his institute colleagues were not the only ones who were interested in Lewis Rogers. Australian law enforcement authorities were taking notice of his purported powers. The police, wondering whether the medium was playing some sort of confidence game, were keeping a close watch on Rogers and his movements. In April 1937, Dr. Spencer commenced his experiments with the medium. Spencer had received Lewis's promise not to leave Melbourne for 3 weeks. Rogers also agreed to allow Spencer's investigation to tail him in his comings and goings from home and consulting room. Other investigators were also planted in Sydney, over 400 miles away, and in a few additional places where Lewis's alleged double had appeared. 3 days after the experiments began on April 8th, an investigator in Sydney reported to Spencer by phone. He had found out that a man named Lewis Rogers had checked into a downtown hotel. The investigator said that he had gone to the hotel, which he was now phoning from, and knocked on the appropriate door. The door was opened, said the investigator, by a tall, good-looking man with long black hair. To the investigator's question, this man had replied that yes, he was Lewis Rogers, and he had just come from Melbourne. The investigator had then gone immediately to a phone to ring up Dr. Spencer in Melbourne. So, said the investigator into the mouthpiece, he's here. No, he's not, replied Spencer. I'm having lunch with him at this moment. Dr. Spencer was not much impressed by this. He knew that 2 slick operators, looking quite a bit alike, could easily pull off such a stunt. As he went on with his lunch, he told Lewis Rogers as much. Rogers replied, with an impatient shake of his head, that he was getting rather weary of the investigation. Then he said, on April 12th, I will prove once and for all I have this extraordinary power. Then perhaps you'll leave me alone. Accordingly, on April 12th, Lewis was conducted to Dr. Spencer's own office and locked in. With 3 other witnesses present, the medium asked Spencer for some kind of password, the first one that entered his mind. Immediately, Dr. Spencer said, lilac. Everyone in the room sat there in silence for about an hour. Suddenly, the phone rang. Spencer answered it. It was an investigator in Sydney who said that he had just seen in one of the city's crowded streets a man who looked exactly like Lewis Rogers. Tension mounted in the locked room. Everyone felt it except Rogers, who, evidently bored with the whole thing, simply gazed out of the window. Then at 5 p.m., an hour after the first call, the telephone rang again. Dr. Spencer fumbled for the receiver and also flipped on a tape recorder to monitor the call. "This is Sydney," came the operator's voice. "I have a call for you." In his receiver, Spencer heard the unmistakable voice of the medium sitting in the same room with him. "This is Louis Rogers. The password is Lilac." 5 years later, during World War II, Louis Rogers was killed while serving with the Australian Army in Europe. No official pronouncement was ever made on whether Louis's ghostly double was a real phenomenon or a fraud. But once, in a relaxed moment, Dr. Spencer confided to a friend that he leaned toward the former.